All right, good morning, everyone. Let's gather in to worship the Lord. Let's just take a moment to quiet before the Lord and pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We love the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being who you are, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Our lives change and seasons change, and Lord, you're glorified in all of that, but you remain our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. You're seated on the throne and you rule over all the world. But most importantly, you invite us. You invite us into your presence and knock on our heart's door and want to rule in our lives. So we come today, Lord, to give you our heart. Would you take our hearts, Lord, as we lift up this sacrifice of praise, even the praise of our lips, as you say in Hebrews 13, the fruit of our lips is a sacrifice of praise that you are well pleased with. But I pray it would come from our hearts, each one of us. Minister your grace to us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I stand amazed. If you feel like standing, you can join us. This is one of my favorite all-time hymns.
Love.
Amen. Hallelujah. How wonderful is His love to you this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, right? Anyone have a testimony or a word of praise or prayer request? Let's pray. Yes. I'm so sorry, Sharon. What are their name? What were their names? Aaron Harmon. Okay, let's pray for the family and for Sharon. Father, we come to you knowing that you hold life in your hands. Lord, you have ordained our days even from before we were born. And you have created us in the womb. And somehow, Lord, in your sovereign love for us, you know all our days. And so we just pray for Sharon and for the family, Lord, her extended family, as they walk through this time of sorrow and death. Lord, that you would comfort them with the comfort of your Holy Spirit through your word. Minister your grace to their hearts, I pray. And let this be a time, Lord, where you lead men and women, the souls of the family, to yourself, Jesus, that they would find you as their one and only strong comfort and consolation in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's also pray for Ron and Linda. Linda's gone through, you know, multiple operations lately, and Ron's been dealing with some sickness this week. And what did Linda say to you this morning?
She had surgery on her back, so she's home now, but it's painful.
Yeah. So let's just take a moment to pray for Ron and Linda. They would like to be here, as you know, but they're going through just a difficult season. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We lift up Brother Ron and Sister Linda. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the blessing and encouragement they are to us as a church body. Lord, I especially thank you for Brother Ron. He's been such an example to me as in his older years, seeking your face, learning to know you, learning to know the word, and just opening up his heart and to the fellowship of the saints. And I thank you for the consistent, faithful testimony of loving his wife. Lord, he just serves her in these last days. Of season of their life, Lord, for however many more years you give them, I pray, teach us to love each other as they love one another, Lord, and serve one another. Thank you for their beautiful example. Touch Linda, we pray, especially with your healing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone else? As we go through these songs, you know the drill here. You're always welcome to raise your hand and give a testimony. A word of praise or a prayer request. His name is wonderful.
His name is wonderful.
Any other testimonies? Okay, our next song. Shares the word today, that it would be light, that you would blaze that light to shine upon our hearts, the glorious light of your word. And as you tell us in 2 Corinthians, that as men turn to the Lord, we're transformed from glory to glory into the image of the one who created us. Would you do that for us today? You said in John chapter 3, John the Baptist said of Jesus, he shall baptize you with the fire and with the Holy Spirit. That's what we ask from you today. That baptism, that immersion of our own lives melted into yours, Lord, buried with Christ and risen again with you into newness of life. Thank you. Amen.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross has spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your very body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declare the grave has no claim on me.
Glory, hallelujah.
Jesus, yours is the victory. Hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
Indeed he is our living hope.
How great the chasm.
Was that the last stanza? There's one more song we like to sing with Brother Steve. Come on up, Steve. reminds me of the verse where Jesus, when he was giving the parable of the sower, you remember where Jesus gave this story of the man who went and sowed the seed, and some fell on all these different grounds, and then he said, but some fell on a good and honest heart, and that's the heart that was fruitful, that Jesus said brought forth life. And so sometimes the Lord wants just our honesty. He always does, right? That's what he then it's when he can bring us and make us fruitful. All right, Brother Steve has got a song. You take.
Oh yeah. Yes. Arise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, ye children of the Lord. Would you like to sing it one more time?
Yeah.
Arise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory. Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, ye children of the Lord. How many here are children of the Lord? Amen. God bless you.
All right. Thank you. You may be seated. Give the time over to the brothers.
Welcome and good morning, everyone. Let's see. Announcements. Are we having lunch today?
Yes.
Yeah, lunch after. Lunch after. Huh? Indian food, oh wow, something special. And everyone's invited, if you didn't get the message, one more time, to come bowling at Chipper's Lane in Greeley. Okay, it's we already have it reserved, no compulsion, but everyone's welcome to come, please. I had something on my heart, I said, rather than the testimony time, to share it now. And you know what, we were talking before the gathering how, you know, God, you know, when Elijah was seeking God and for a really desperate time, he wasn't, you know, we have this story that God wasn't in the tornado or the earthquake or the fire, but the still small voice. And I think we really, I've experienced that so far this morning. Like the small things, like the testimony you had, that's a big thing, right? You follow, you try to just stalk these ladies in the van and they led you right to this place. You acknowledge God. Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And our sister, you know, we can't quite fathom a grandson or a loved one being taken from us so suddenly. God bless your heart and thanks for being here, right? Thanks for being here and to share that God alone can comfort. Just times like this, we think of like, aren't you so thankful for a promise that God says all things, I mean, it's hard to do it, but all things somehow work together for good. We might not see it yet, but maybe you'll be that person, you know, to just still be blessing God and praising God. That'll help other people. And then the thing that was on my heart, I think we'll see how it goes along with I'll keep it real short, but with the brother's song, Arise and Shine. But I just want to read, I'm going to read this Psalm with very little commentary. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who has set your glory above the heavens? And then I'm going to skip to verse 3. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Okay. So something, you know, this man of God, did he... He went out and he looked, and we have to use our imagination sometimes because we don't look up and see as many stars as you if you get further out. You know, have you ever, anyone else been out somewhere where you see the whole Milky Way, and you just see there's thousands and billions of stars. It really just lifts your heart up to God, the Creator. You know, so maybe we have to use our imagination a little more sometimes to do that. But to know to lift our hearts to God, how great He is, right? And I'm gonna go back to number 2, he says, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might still or quiet the enemy and the avenger. Okay? So, you know, maybe this is for us children, right? Babes, what is a babe? When you're born again, what does that make you? A baby, right? So those that are born again in the Lord, I like to apply this to us, babes and sucklings. God's ordained strength to still, to quiet the enemy, who's the accuser. He's always out there trying to, you know, accuse. And when is this coming? The ordained strength, the strength to, just like that song says, to rise and shine. How we do that, it's children of God. You don't have to turn there. I'm gonna connect it to a verse in Philippians 2. God says to do all things without murmurings or disputing, which would be without complaining, without arguing, right? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. This connects to the other one. This is how we can still pray. You know, strength comes out of us to still and quiet the enemy, right? By doing everything, receiving things without complaining and blessing God. And he says that this is what, that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Something seems so simple, that's so profound, that marks us as the children of God, that quiets the voice of the enemy and the avenger, is just like it did with Job, right? All these things came, and he blessed God, and he, you know, all that whole thing. And so it is with us. It's harder at times. And you know, there's a time to pour out your heart, your complaint to God. There's a protected way, you know, where you're pouring your heart out to God. But amongst the world, the strength and it shows something separate that makes us stand out as the children of God is to not be complaining, to not be arguing, to not any of this, just to honor God no matter what we're going through, and it causes your light to shine. And then this next part of the psalm. This started my testimony for me last week when we were just worshiping, and this kept coming to me and has all week. So he says, you know, considering God, the heavens, and all he's made, what is man? What are us mortals that you are mindful of us, that you visit us every morning? You've made us little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Job says something similar, that you visit us every morning, you try us all the time. I might just leave it there, like, you know, God said, we're something very special to God. He cares very deeply for the intimate things in our life. Jesus even said, it's from Jesus. This causes people to go back sometimes, but he said, you're gods and children of the Most High. Him speaking to, Jesus often did this to speak to the aspect of us that, yes, we're, you know, there's a mortal side of us, but he's speaking to that divine Son of God part of us, right? That God is very mindful of. He's very interested in the details of our life. Do we have any children? A few children today? Who's doing the children's lesson?
Debbie.
Okay. Time for the children's lesson. Justice, your whole family is invited to come bowling if you have time. Understand if you're not, okay? All right, we'd love for you to join us, okay? I think we have more lanes than we need. It'd be great.
I'm going to sit right here if you guys can see me.
Debbie, do you want a chair?
Okay. I just can't sit on the floor. Thanks. I'm going to read a miracle from a little boy's lunch. You guys, some of you may know this story. I need my glasses. It had been a long day of teaching, and Jesus crossed a lake for some quiet time. He rested on a grassy field. He saw thousands of people coming towards him. They'd seen him do many miracles, and they were excited to hear more of his teachings. It was near dinner time, and they needed to feed the crowd. Jesus asked one of his disciples, "Where can we buy bread? How much do you think they'd have to spend to get bread for 5,000 people?" A person would have to work a long, long time. That's it. To buy bread for all these people, the disciple told Jesus. Another disciple tried to help. Don't peek. A boy offered his lunch of 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. It wasn't nearly enough to feed the crowd. Jesus knew God had a plan. See, it's like this. Here's a little lunch. One of the disciples found a little boy, and he had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That was going to be his lunch, okay? Jesus thanked God for the food, and he told the disciples to pass around the bread and the fish. They passed the food basket. So here's what Jesus did. After they were all done, he had the disciple go and collect all of the leftovers. So out of that one little lunch, they came back with 12 baskets full. That's what it looked like back then. He made that miracle. And you guys can keep that for a lunch, okay? All 5,000 people ate till they were full. They all had enough to eat. And when they had finished, Jesus said to his followers, "Gather the pieces of bread and fish that were not eaten." I didn't give you any fish. Jesus knows God always provides what we need, and God's love for us is big. He loves to give and give. Is there something you'd like to thank God for today? Anybody got something they're thankful for? Thanksgiving's coming up. You guys can think about it for a week, okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing miracles, and thank you for how much you love us. And thank you for all these kids, Lord. Guide and bless them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now you can remember Jesus anytime you eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, okay? I forgot to ask. I hope there's no peanut allergies. You can have that. That's for you. You got one?
Am I on?
Yes.
There you go. Okay. Wow, is it me or it sounds a little bit intense? Well, they'll figure it out meanwhile. Good? Better? Hello? Okay. Hello, everybody. You happy to be here today? This weather. Come on, it's November. And this weather is like, we'll take it any day. This is beautiful, wonderful. This is amazing. Okay. We'll start with the reason why I'm going to share this with you is because of the last time the youth, you know, we met with the youth. We had a really good, interesting conversation. We were talking about social media, you know, screen time, phone usage, you name it. I think you're following me. So, and we asked the first question was, is social media good or bad? What do you think? Anybody wants to say something about it? Steve, go ahead. Generally bad. Okay. There is a point for that. Anyone else who agrees with Steve that social media or phones or screen time are bad? You have to attach the moral to it. I love that. Thank you.
Can be used for a lot of good.
Okay. Well, I think we're getting there. Anyone else? Does that make sense? Are we understanding? Okay. So That conversation, I guess I never defined like specifically, okay, is social media good or you know, using your phone or screen time, is it good or bad by itself? So I went home, you know, and I continued to think about this, and this is what I discovered, pretty smart. Social media, all these things that we're talking about, is just a tool. It's a tool. Now, we need to define a tool. There are different kinds of tool. Let me read a definition of tool. A tool is a handle, device, or implement used to perform a specific task or facilitate work, such as a hammer or saw. It can also refer to any object that helps achieve a goal or complete an operation. You see, I described social media. I described anything. This is a tool. This thing is a tool. This guy right here is a tool, right? We have a lot of tools. So the tool itself, it's nothing, right? The tool cannot do anything. It's just an opportunity to exercise your heart. I kind of like that one. When that came to my mind, I was like, oh, I like that one. A tool is nothing, but it's an opportunity. It gives you the opportunity to exercise your heart, right? Because a person with a phone or with social media is going to express what's happening in this person's heart. So we cannot blame the tool itself. We cannot say like, oh, no, that the tool is really bad. No, the tool is not bad itself, per se. But the heart of the person is what is giving, I'm going to say, life to the tool. Right? The tool is achieving a goal, not because it can do it by itself, but because of the author or the master, right? The person that is using this tool. That's what really matters. Are we all good in this one? Does that make sense? So, answering the question, social media, phones, and screens are not good or bad. They are tools. Okay? The use or the way they're being used, it totally depends on the person. Does that make sense? Okay, now, there are different kinds of tools for different things. Right? Have you tried having, you know, cereal with milk with a fork? Yeah, it sounds funny, right? I mean, the whole thing will go through it. I mean, maybe you will be able to get a couple, how do you call it, flakes, but not milk, right? So it's not the best tool for that. Now, we have tools for a lot of different activities, and we can spend a whole day talking about different tools. But more than that, explain a little bit the difference between somebody having the skills, having the experience, how different that tool works or looks like. For example, what's a good example? Give me a tool. What's a good tool that you would say, ah, let's talk about this tool? Anybody?
A hammer.
A hammer. Everybody knows what a hammer is? You know what it is? Okay. What did he use it for? Yeah, to pound a nail, right? Papa, don't take offense in this question, but did you get to build a house with a hammer? I mean, were you in that time, I mean, I know you're coming from a background that you guys, were you using electricity and stuff during that time or not really?
Yes.
You were, okay. But were you one of those guys that built a whole house just with your hands and nails? Okay, wow. Oh my goodness, come on. That's amazing. Can you imagine building a whole house just with a hammer? So this hammer in the hands of somebody like Papa, you know, like somebody with experience that they know what they're doing, it's amazing. It's incredible. But is the hammer bad or good? No. That's not the right question. The question is, who is handling the hammer? Now, if you give the hammer to another adult, but this guy has never used a hammer. Don't look at me, okay? I know you're thinking of me. I used it once, long time ago. I remember that. I mean, man, be careful because you're going to go and hit this little guy right here. It's going to get a little bit bigger. You following me? A guy that does not know how to use a hammer correctly, it's a very dangerous guy. Ignorance, right? Not having the skill. Now, a hammer in the hand of a person with a wicked heart, run away. That is a very dangerous person because this hammer can be used to hurt somebody. And that is not fun. You follow me? Hopefully that will never happen, but hey, this world is crazy. Okay? And somebody can attack someone else with a hammer, even though the hammer was not designed for that. I'm pretty sure, without knowing the guy that created the hammer, I'm pretty sure the guy that was not thinking, I'm going to create this device so people can take and slam heads of other people, you know, like go hit people. They were not thinking of that. They were thinking, I wonder if there is a way to make this nail go faster instead of using a rock. Right? Okay, how about a hammer in the hands of a kid? Maybe his intentions are not wrong. He's not thinking, I'm going to go hit my brother or my sister or my dad or my mom. But he does not know how to use it. His heart, his skills, and his strength are not ready to use a hammer properly. Does that make sense? This is very interesting. Just with one question. Is social media good or bad? So it's not about that. It's the same tool, but the outcome is totally different. It's a totally different outcome. A tool in the wrong hands is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Do you remember the story of the sons of... I have a question. For the kids. Kids, who was the first man and the first woman created? Thank you, my friend. Do you remember the names of the first sons that we see in the Bible? Cain and Abel. Do you remember those guys? Do you remember in chapter 4 of Genesis, do you remember what happened? These guys brought an offering to the Lord. First of all, that's amazing, right? That they had such a close relationship to God, that they brought an offering, okay? Both of them brought to the Lord what they knew what to do, how to do, right? One of them was working the ground. The other one was working with animals. So they both of them had the same opportunity and brought an offering to the Lord. And God didn't like one of them, and the other one he did. Remember which one? Which one did he like the most? No, he liked the offering of Abel, but not the offering of Cain. You guys remember that story? Okay. What happened next? It's in Genesis 4. Let's go over there really quick. Let's go to Genesis. If you don't know where Genesis is, we might need to pray for you. Just kidding. It's the first book of the Bible. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 4. Let's see. So the offering already happened. Chapter 4, verse 8. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Now, we, as far as I know, and if you know more about this, please let me know. As far as I know, it doesn't say what he used to kill his brother. He could have been, I don't know, maybe he went from behind and gave him an awful choke, or maybe with a rock or with a sharp piece of something. We don't know. But let's imagine for now that it was a rock, just for the sake of this time. Let's imagine that it was a rock. So this rock is nothing. I mean, a rock over there doesn't do anything. Maybe it was taking a nap. I don't know. You know, the rock is down there doing nothing. But then Cain took this rock. I'm making this up, by the way. Cain took this rock, and now this rock became something, became a tool, right? And the heart of Cain, his heart, used this tool for a purpose. for a purpose that God did not design, for a purpose that wasn't in God's heart. Again, I dare to say that God was not thinking when he created stones and rocks. He was not thinking, I'm going to create rocks so people can throw at each other and kill each other. I'm positive about that. All right? But still, Cain used this rock and allowed his heart. And the outcome of this is very sad. He killed his own brother because of anger. He killed his own brother. So, I want you to remember that, okay? We're talking about his heart, Cain's heart. Now, let's go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, I'm pretty sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard or read this story. Let's go to Matthew 19. Verse 16. This is the story of a young man, a rich young man. Okay? Now, before I start reading, honestly, I read this story and I was like, well, is this guy, is he trying to show off with his questions, with this situation? Or is he legit? Is he a legit guy asking real questions? So let's see if we can figure it out. Even though that's not the main point of this, that's just a question. So, Matthew, what did I say, 19, 16. And behold, a man came up to him, this is Jesus, right, saying, Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? So this is the reason why I'm wondering if this is a sincere, legit heart asking a question like, God, I mean, Jesus, what am I lacking? I wonder if it was in his heart, he knew there is something else that I'm lacking. I'm still needing something to do. Or I don't know if he is like, you know what? I'm killing it. I'm really good. I just want to show off. Tell me what I'm missing, you know, like, and I'm going to show you how good I am. I don't know yet. We don't know yet. So, and he, Jesus, and he said to him, why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. Pay attention to this. God, Jesus is saying, why do you ask me about what is good? Like an actual thing. Okay? And Jesus said, there is only one who is good. He's not talking about a thing. He's calling good a person. You see the difference? This guy is talking about something, a thing that is good. And Jesus is answering, not with a thing that is good, but with somebody, with a person that is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you should not murder. You should not commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Sounds wonderful. The young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? Wait, if this guy is a legit guy, you know what I mean by legit? That he's a sincere asking a question. That means that even though he's been behaving super well, because he said, all these things that you said, I've kept. What am I still lacking? There was still something in his heart that he knew there was something else that I'm lacking. Why is this? Even though I've kept all these regulations, all these rules, all these laws that you mentioned, why is my heart still feeling something? I'm lacking something. If he was a sincere guy. Now, if he's just showing off, he's just trying to make sure that everybody knows that he's being super cool, right? That he's being the best, that he's being the top. You see it? So, next, Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, check it out. The word perfect in Jesus' mouth is pretty serious, okay? If you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Okay? When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Whew. So there was something then in his heart that he knew he was lacking something. And even though maybe his intentions were good, asking, hey, what am I missing, man? You know, I know I'm doing great. I can tell I'm but there is still something that I'm lacking. What is it? And when Jesus tells him this, he goes away very sad. Jesus pointed out the fact that this guy had a problem. Not externally, internally. He had money not only in his pocket, because we know he was a rich man. He had money not only in his pocket, he had money in his heart. He had money in his heart. And you know, I've discovered this. I grew up in a third world country. And I've seen poor people. I did not grow, you know, up like super poor or super rich. I was like a middle low class guy. And I can tell you this. I've known, even myself, I've known people with no money in their pockets, but with money in their hearts. And I've known people with money in their pockets, but not money in their hearts. Are you following me? What really matters is this one. Why? Because it's like the tool. Because a hammer in the hands of a good heart, that guy's going to build a house. That guy's going to build a barn. Right? That guy is going to go fix the door. He's going to go fix something. But a hammer in the hands of a wicked heart, oh my goodness, let's run. Let's call 911 or do something, because it's going to be really bad. It's the same thing. This guy had money in his pocket, but he also had money in his heart. Even though his question was in the outside, right? Jesus, what am I missing? I can't see it, man. Jesus' answer was in the inside. This is what I really want. Your heart. It was going to be an amazing story if this guy did what Jesus told him. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, we will be like jumping around like, man, what a great story. I want to get to see this guy when we get to heaven. Great example. Gave everything away and followed Jesus. That's not the case. His heart wasn't in the right place. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Now, I'll tell you this. We all, even if you don't want to accept it or not, we all are rich people. How many of you woke up today thinking, oh man, I don't know what I'm going to have for dinner tonight? Well, Henry, because he needs to cook these days. He needs to help Leah. Nobody woke up worried today about what they're going to have for dinner. We're rich people, right? But don't worry. This doesn't mean that we're not going to go to heaven because we're rich people. Okay? It's talking about the heart. Now, we use this part in every single aspect of life. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And we go, there is nothing wrong with this. I mean, we go, you know, like, oh, I'm going to do it because with, you know, with God, nothing is impossible and so on. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's fine. Go for it. You know, that's a good motivation. But I actually think this is talking about the heart too. Okay? God is talking about the heart of this man. Yes, you can have money in your pocket, but don't bring the money up to your heart. Yes, you can have a skill. You know, you can be good at doing something. But don't allow that to define your heart, but the other way around. You see it? It's the heart. It's the heart what really matters. I was just talking to Mervin a few minutes ago. I was telling him that we'll love to see him up here one day. But our desire for you, bro, is your heart, is your relationship with God. You know, because we can bring the top, top of the top musicians play here. And it can be a whole concert, amazing. But if this guy's heart is not aligned with the Lord, what is it? This is a lost man just playing music. Yeah, he might be amazing. Wow, amazing. That's it. I remember one time we went to visit a church, very, very poor church, that the drummer had the drum that is in front of him, I don't know, it has a specific name, had a huge hole. That every time the guy hit this thing, it sounded really bad. It was like bang, and everybody, every single time he hit it, everybody was just like, whoa, what is that? You know, but these guys were so into it. They were giving their hearts and everything they had in that moment of music that I started to cry. It was like God humbling me and telling me, this is what I really care about. The heart. I don't care if the drum is $1,000 drum or whatever. I care about the heart. That's what I really want. That's what I really want. Now, go with me to the book of Titus. So the first example that I gave you about Genesis 4... we're talking about a tool, right? But at the end of the story, what mattered was the heart of this man. In the second story in Matthew, it was a man, okay, who we can see the heart was what really mattered. Where are you going, little boy? Okay. And in this story, I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to read. This is good. This is good. Check this out. Actually, let me go back. Let's go back to chapter 1, verse 5 in Titus. This is Paul talking. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of the, debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. Let me jump to chapter 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and steadfastness. Other women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled again, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. There you go, self-control again. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bond servants, we have something for you too, are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Whew, that was a lot. Let me ask you this. How many of you think that what I described is a good thing? How many of you think, or how many of you would like to be one of those persons that are being described? I want. Come on. Self-control? Whew. I can learn a lot about that. Sober-minded? Yes. Count me in. I want that. Okay. Every single thing that is here, it's a good thing. Amen for that. I believe that we have made a mistake when we read this. We read this part and we think, oh, I need to do that so I can go, so I can become like this person that he's describing. Our motivation was ourselves. Or maybe I'm talking about myself only, and that's okay. Our motivation, or my motivation, was to become one, this person that he's describing. A good thing with a wrong heart. You might be able to control yourself at some point. You might be able to be, you know, sober-minded at some point, or in a certain level, if I may say. But your heart is into it. I hope this is not confusing. What I'm trying to say is that even though it's a good thing, what really matters is the heart. Because if you think, well, I do not fulfill every single thing that he described here. But if God is working in your heart and in your mind, sooner than you think, when you never expect, you're going to be over there. Not because of you, but because of the one that is putting that in your heart. Does that make sense, or is it too confusing? It's good? Does that make sense? What really matters is the heart. It's now the outcome. You know why? Because there is a man in the Bible that we all respect. He became a king. He killed a giant. And the Bible describes this man as a man. I always forget the expression because I think of it in Spanish. What is it? God, after God's own heart. Hold on. This guy, he was a killer. He was an adulterer. How can God call somebody that sinned that way that he has a heart? Again, after his own heart. How? It's not the action itself. And of course, I'm not saying, go sin, the Lord loves you. Not at all, right? What I'm saying is that it's not the action itself. It was his heart. You know why? Because when he discovered, or when was it Samuel that told him? Nathan that told him, hey, you have sinned. What did he do? Repented right away. Oh my goodness. I have failed against the Lord. That is the heart that God is looking for. He's not looking for perfect hearts. He's looking for all the weak and broken hearts so he can fix them. So he can change them, make them at his own image. This is what really matters, the heart. If you go back to Matthew 15, do you remember who say this? These people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. This is Jesus saying, hey, you guys in the outside, yeah, you look like you love me. You look like you're following me. You look like amazing in the outside. But your heart is far from me. And that's what I came from. That's what I really care. Your heart. I don't care if you wear suspenders. I don't care if your shirt is long enough or not. I want your heart. This is what the Lord is telling us today. It's the heart. God is after our hearts. And I dare to say this. I believe every single story in the Bible is about this. The heart. You can see God's heart in every story, and you can distinguish the difference between a man with a wicked heart and between a man that wants his heart to be transformed by the Lord. And I want to give you this homework, a task, if you want it. Take the book of Matthew and read every story with this in mind. Pay attention not only to the words, not only to the actions, but take one step back or deeper if you want to see it that way. I wonder why he answered this way. Why was he thinking? What was in his heart? And what is the outcome of this heart or of this heart? It's beautiful. You will find out a pattern. God is after our hearts. He's after our hearts. Now, if you go a little forward to Matthew 18, verse 7, woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes. Pay attention to this one because this is a hard one. And if your hand of your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. This is pretty heavy. Because he's not saying, if your phone, throw away the phone. Sure, okay, no problem. Right? I mean, he's talking about parts of our bodies that if we want, we could use them as tools too. Right? God is saying, if there is something in your life that is leading you to sin, it is better for you to get rid of it than to go to hell with that amazing tool in your life. And let me share this with you, and I promise you, and I'm not trying to show off, if anything is the other way around, I'm trying to be honest with you, and I'm not trying to put pressure on you about this particular subject, okay? This is between you, God and you. It's not my business. Like, this is my business with the Lord. My first contact with social media, I loved it. Social media, brothers and sisters, is an amazing tool. And by the way, it's here to stay, okay? It's not going to go away. It's going to stay for a long time, I think. It's going to grow, and more platforms are going to come up. As we speak, some people might be building one. I don't know. What I want to share with you is that my first contact with it was like a good flavor. you know, in my mouth that fed my heart with it. I loved it. Social media, I loved it. But I had to examine myself, my heart. And I had to ask the Lord, God, is this good for me? Am I using this in the proper way, in a way that is honoring you? And by the way, I was not seeing bad stuff. Okay, I was not seeing things that would be inappropriate. Okay? I was just using social media, but the effect that it was having in my heart, I had to be diligent. And the Lord showed me this. It is better for you to lose one eye than go to heaven. So I decided, I'm not going to use social media. And that is the reason why I don't have social media. Now, I'm not saying that I will never have social media, because tomorrow I might open an account. Okay? What I'm trying to say is, in that point of my life, my heart was not ready for it. My heart was not ready to be with social media, because I was going to spend the entire day in it. I can see it. I mean, it's still tempting sometimes. You know, I sometimes take my wife's phone and I check it. It's easy to spend 15 minutes seeing people that I don't even know. I know it's so lame and stupid. My heart wasn't ready for it. And that is my challenge for you. Not only with social media. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. You name it. You know your life. You know yourself. So, think about it. Allow the Lord to work in your heart and His Spirit to work in your mind and to talk to you. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy, which is right before Titus, 2 Timothy 3:16. And I want to tell you this. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is, how do you say this word? Breathed? Is that okay?
Mine says inspired.
Inspired. Okay, I'm going to say inspired because this word is hard. So how do you say breathe, but in past time? Breathe. Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm going to say inspired. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The reason why I want to share this with you is because we can see the Word of God as a tool too, right? The challenge with this perspective is that, remember, the tool has no power. The tool does nothing. It's the heart. So, and I just want to give you a warning about what's going on in the world. Maybe many of you know about this. But we have, unfortunately, people using this to speak lies. We have people preaching, saying that there is no place in the Bible that says that two persons of the same gender can get married. And that is very dangerous. And people are believing that because there is one guy here talking very nicely with a Bible in his hands saying, oh yeah, no problem. You can do this. You can go over there. You can do whatever you want. You see it? Is the wicked heart what is triggering the output? Now, in this case, I want to finish with two things, I promise. The first one. I have discovered And I'm not trying to justify. At first, I was going to say, man, I have to apologize to the church because I always talk about the same thing. But then I thought, no. And I'll tell you why. Have you noticed that when somebody has been saved by God, and this person was struggling with, I don't know, let's say addiction, in the mouth of this person, constantly you will hear that God brought him out of addiction. Do you agree with me?
Yeah.
Most of the time anyways. Yeah. Or, for instance, a Muslim. A Muslim has a heart for the people that are still Muslims, that they believe in someone else other than Jesus. And you will hear constantly this person talking about that. Do you agree with me? Well, I'll tell you this. I ask myself, why am I always talking about this? And I discovered that I was like this rich man. I was a good guy in the outside. I fulfill all the requirements. I kept all the rules. But my heart was far from Jesus. And in His grace, He allowed me to see that. That is why I preach to you about the heart. And I dare to ask you a question. Do you identify with that? I thought so. This is our testimony. Because at some point, all of us believed and lived in a certain way that we thought we were doing great, that we were doing good, because we were wearing something in a certain way when it wasn't about that. It was about the heart. From the beginning, we got it wrong. And God, in His mercy, in His grace, after years of being Christians, He's allowing us to see this. What He really cares is our hearts. He is after our hearts. That is why we'll continue to preach this, even if every single Sunday we preach this. We're going to make it to that place in which we're going to allow our hearts to be transformed by Him. He wants your heart. He wants your heart. He wants my heart. And even though I'm being talking about tools, and I'm almost positive that every single time when I describe the tool, or every single time I was talking, you know, the output of the tool, using the tool, I'm almost positive that you were thinking about yourself, or at least putting a person as the master, as the one handling the hammer. Am I right in that? Were you thinking of that? Yes? Some of you anyways, at least, were thinking of that. Well, I want to tell you something. We are actually not the masters. We are actually the tools. We are just clay. And in the potter's hand, we can become a vessel. And remember, in the hands of the master, the tool comes alive. And there are only two masters, a good master and a bad master, if I may say that this is a master. And in this case, the clay can choose. I know it sounds very weird, but in this case, the clay can choose or can allow either the bad master or the good master to be the one handling the tool. I hope you're following what I'm saying. God, Jesus, He's the good master. And He wants to use you as a tool, not for your own glory, for His own glory. He will define how He uses you, where He will take you, what kind of role you will have. Okay? His heart, we already know His heart is good. Will you allow Him to use your life, to change your heart, to transform you? Because from Him, only good things come out. Only good things. I want to challenge you to spend time in His Word. We all need more time. And not only more time, maybe I should say we all need quality time. Quality time. Even if it is one, two verses. Start with that. But allow Him to use your life for His own glory. Love you, church. And I'm honestly very honored and happy and content that we all are in this place. I'm not talking about physical place. I'm talking about in this place in which, man, after so many years of believing things, now we're here. We're seeing it. He wants our hearts. He wants to work with our hearts. He wants to change our lives, our minds. That's what He really wants. I'm so happy that we have that opportunity to see it. And don't worry about those 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 40 years that you were maybe thinking about something else that you were wrong. Don't worry about those years. We're here now. He's allowing us to see what really matters. Amen.
Where is he? You around, brother? Nope. Is he in the kitchen? He's been suffering from a neck, just a real stiff neck and back this week. And so I asked him if we could anoint him with oil. And he said yes and pray over him. So, you know, while he comes, I just wanted to share again with you, those of you who may not be so familiar with the scriptures, the reason that we love to do this is because we love to obey the word of the Lord and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives as we obey His word. In James chapter 5, he says, beginning in verse 12, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath. But let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? Don't swear about it. Don't say, I'm going to do this, or I'm going to do that. No. Let him pray. When you suffer, the Lord has one thing for you. Come, talk with me. I want to talk with you. Is anyone cheerful? What to do? What do you do when you're cheerful? Spend a lot of money? No? Rejoice! How do you rejoice? Sing! Let him sing praises if you're cheerful. Is anyone among you sick? What to do? Go for some medicine? Call the doctor? Go for a chiropractor treatment? Maybe. But what to do first? What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you're sick? Is anyone among you sick? Let him make a phone call to the elders. That's exactly what it says. Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered is like an offering to the Lord. The prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick. And I don't know about you, but every time I'm sick, whether I wake up with a sore neck or, you know, something that's hurting, one of the first things that I feel in my heart is not cheerful. Do you feel cheerful? I get grumpy. Do you too? You just feel down. It's a real downer. That's why we need restoration. We need to be revived. That's the word. And the prayer offered in faith will revive. It will give you revival in your heart. The one who is sick and the Lord will raise him up. That means you also need a resurrection. Our spirits need to be raised up out of being subject to the sickness. Our spirits need to be strong and rise up in faith. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. That's why we do it. And so when Henry told us he was really just dealing with this, I said, Henry, would you like for us to anoint you with oil? And just in case you guys think it's a bother, I carry this with me every Sunday. So I'm ready. Anytime that you guys need, there's a little bit of oil here, and we elders are ready to anoint you, to exercise this offering before the Lord and bring revival to your heart for whatever you're dealing with. Would you come, Brother Henry? All right, Christopher, Eli, Dad, Jemiah, whoever, the ministry team, come forward. And whoever else wants to join us, just come on up. We're going to ask, can you kneel? Are your knees okay, or do they need revival too? Okay, we'll pray for them too. But most of all, your back. How is your back? You want to tell us a little bit about it?
My neck has been sore on this side since Wednesday morning. And, yeah, I've never had that before.
You haven't been to work, like, for 2 or 3 days, right?
I worked yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's the second day all week.
It's been pretty intense. All right, let's pray over him. Anyone?
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for our brother Henry. God, pray for healing, for these muscles to relax. God, any tendon or joints that are malfunctioning, in the name of Jesus, Father, just heal them. Bring restoration to these muscles or whatever is going on with them. If they are tense because of work or stress or anything else, just life in general, Father, we pray your peace, strength, your presence with Henry and his family. God, help Henry because his work is very physical. He does need his back, his arms, his muscles to move around. Please help him. Take this pain away. Take this soreness. Take this uncomfort situation away from him. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Lord, I thank you for Brother Henry, Lord. Pray that you would just bless him, Lord. Restore his health, Lord. His neck here, Lord. Just pray, Lord, that all things would find its place again, Lord, and that he would be able to work and provide for his family. We thank you, Lord, for Henry and all he does and all he means for the church here, Lord. Pray you would just continue to be with him, Lord. Guide him. And for healing, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, I thank you for my brother. Pray, Lord, that you would touch him, that you would bring healing this time so that he can provide for his family. And Lord, that you'd just, I know, God, that miracles aren't nothing to you. That's just who you are. So I just pray you would just bring healing for this and protection as he tries to lead his family and to follow you. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Father, we lift up our dear brother and we just pray, Father, that you would revive his spirit, Lord, as he walks through this time, Lord, struggling with his body. Lord, I pray that you would renew his inner man with your Holy Spirit. All of us, Lord, are going to die one day with these physical bodies will be changed. But Lord, our spirits, you want us to be renewed, and you promised you would do that. That though our outer man is decaying day by day, yet our inner man is being renewed day by your Holy Spirit. That's what we pray, that you would revive his heart, you would bless him and strengthen him in his inner man, and touch his body and heal him, Lord. Dear brother, we anoint you with oil. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be healed.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. Hallelujah. I feel like we've had a... Do you have something, Steve? Thank you. I might have forgotten that. Yeah. So let's pray and ask a blessing over the meal and our fellowship. Thank you, God, for this full time of fellowship so far. And we just want you to be honored and always say and do. And we pray, bless the meal and our fellowship. May it continue to be just uplifting to one another. And we thank you for this day you've made. We rejoice in it and are glad.